Proverbs 6, just after the middle of the Bible. Warnings against folly. My son, if you've put up security for your neighbour, if you've shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you've been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into Proverbs 6. I'm reading 6 to 11. Yeah? Bible Gateway puts it in different words. 6 to 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Go to the ant, you sluggard, verse 6. Well, that's weird. No. It's all right. This says it's verse 6, and so does that. Let's go there. Okay. That's bizarre. I thought my only problem was the printer wouldn't work. Okay. Let's start again. We're reading from Proverbs chapter 6. Starting at verse 6 this time. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? Will you get up from your sleep? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. And then we're going to Matthew chapter 25, beginning hopefully at verse 14. And it's a parable of bags of gold. Good. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not gathered scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is God's word.
Well, thanks very much, Jean, for bringing those readings to us. If you could have that second reading open, you will find it either in the blue Bibles in front of you, or if you want to follow in the newsletter, you'll find it printed there alongside an outline of where we're going in today's talk. I'll just get my clicker. Let's pray together before we hear the preaching of God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege it always is to be together as your people and to have the promise of your Spirit with us and the gift of your word being spoken. And we pray, Father, that your word would penetrate our hearts, that we would grow in our awareness of you, our acceptance and our love of you, that your Spirit would be generating faith in our hearts as we hear your word being spoken. And that the consequence of this would be that our lives are given over to you more and more in genuine worship and praise and love. And we ask these things for your honour and your glory. Amen. If you're visiting with us, you'll need to know that we're in the middle of this series, which we've called The Generous Life. Those who have been here will know that this is a series exploring the relationship between our hearts and the way we see the things that God has entrusted to us. Our key verse for the series is the one that's printed up there, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And over the last 2 weeks, we've seen that principle applied in two different ways. Jesus warned us in the first week not to treasure wealth above God, in the parable of the rich fool. And then last week, Paul taught us that because Christ is our treasure, we should hold our wealth with contentment, trust God rather than riches, and be generous towards others. Now, today, in the passage we're looking at, Jesus broadens the conversation. Although this parable speaks about bags of gold, or in the older translations, talents, it's translated bags of gold in our edition. It's really about something much bigger than money. It asks this question: what does the way you use everything God has entrusted to you reveal about your relationship with him? Or to put it another way, this is what we're learning this morning: your stewardship reveals your relationship with the Master. And by stewardship, I simply mean living more like a manager than an owner, recognising that everything we have ultimately belongs to God, and asking how we can faithfully use it for him. That certainly includes our money, but it also includes our time, our abilities, our relationships, our opportunities, our influence, everything God has entrusted to us. Before we look at the parable, let me briefly remind you where it fits. Matthew 25 contains three parables Jesus tells about his return. The first of those parables teaches readiness, be ready. The last pictures the judgment that will follow. The middle parable, the one that we're looking at today, teaches us how to live while we wait. Jesus knows his return may seem delayed. So the question is not simply will we be ready, but how will we live until he returns? That's the question this parable answers. And as we dive into it, our first point in verses 14 to 18 is the master in trust. The master in trust, verses 14 to 18. If you look at the parable with me, Jesus begins. Again, verse 14, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Immediately we notice something. The wealth belongs to the master, not the servants. The servants are not owners, they are managers. The master then distributes his wealth. One servant, we're told, receives five bags of gold, another receives two, and another receives one. Verse 15 tells us something very important about this distribution. It is distributed each according to the servant's ability. So notice what Jesus is teaching about the master. He knows the servants personally. He doesn't distribute carelessly. He doesn't distribute equally. He distributes wisely. The different amounts are not evidence that he values one servant more than the other. They simply reflect that he knows each servant and he knows what each of them is capable of handling. Imagine a father going on a hike with three children. He doesn't give every child the same backpack. The older child carries more than the youngest, not because he loves one child more than the other, but because he knows each child's strength and capabilities. That's exactly what the master does here. He entrusts responsibility according to each servant's ability. And that immediately challenges one of our greatest temptations, comparison. We spend so much of life looking sideways. Why has God given them that opportunity? Why do they have those gifts? Why has their family turned out that way? Why has their ministry grown? Why has their career prospered? And Jesus says, you're asking the wrong question. The question isn't, why wasn't I given what someone else has? The question is, what has my master entrusted to me? Because every servant in this story, without exception, has been entrusted with something remarkable. Even the servant who receives just one bag of gold has not been given something small. The original word, as Amanda said, is talent. And one talent was roughly worth 20 years' wages for an ordinary labourer. Think about that. This servant hasn't been entrusted with just pocket money. He's been entrusted with a fortune, an extraordinary act of confidence shown by the master. So the servant cannot say, the master didn't really give me anything. Every servant has received an immense trust. The issue is never how much. The issue is what they do with what they've been given. I remember reading this passage while I was at Bible college. I was surrounded by people who seemed far more gifted than I was. Some were brilliant preachers, others were exceptional evangelists, others just seemed able to lead without any effort at all. I found myself constantly comparing my future ministry with theirs, and then I read this parable. And it struck me that Jesus wasn't asking me to steward someone else's gifts. He was asking me to be faithful with mine. And I suspect many of us need to hear that. Christ has not called you to live someone else's life. He's entrusted you with your life, with your opportunities, your family, your work, your gifts, your experiences, your resources. And one day he will not ask, what did you do with someone else's life? But what did you do with the life I entrusted to you? As the story unfolds, that's exactly what we see. The servant with five bags immediately goes to work and gains five more. The servant with two does exactly the same. Both put what the master entrusted to them to work for the master's benefit. The third servant does something very different. He digs a hole, he buries the master's money, he preserves it, but he does nothing with it. And we'll discover why in a moment. But already Jesus is teaching us something very important. Everything God entrusts to us is meant to be used for his purposes. Not simply preserved, not neglected, not treated as though it belongs to us. Whether it's our money, our abilities, our time, our opportunities, even the people God has placed into our lives, these are not ultimately ours. They've been entrusted to us by a gracious master. And the question every one of us should be asking is, how can I faithfully use what my master has entrusted to me for his glory? Because that's what faithful stewardship looks like. In the next part of the parable, in verses 19 to 27, we are told the servants reveal. The servants reveal. That's our second point, in verses 19 to 27. Jesus continues. If you look again, verse 19, he continues. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Notice those opening words. After a long time. The master doesn't return the following week or even the following month. He delays, which means the servants have to decide how they will live during his absence. And that's exactly where we find ourselves. Jesus has ascended into heaven. Nearly 2,000 years have passed. Sometimes people wonder, is he really coming back? Jesus says yes. The master may seem delayed, but one day he will return and every servant will give an account. The first servant comes forward. He says, verse 20, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. The second servant says almost exactly the same. He had received 2. He had gained 2 more. Now listen carefully to the master's response to both of them. He says to both servants, verse 21 and verse 23, this is what he says to both of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Did you notice something? The commendation is identical. The servant with 5 bags receives exactly the same words as the servant with 2. The reward is identical. The welcome is identical. The invitation is identical. Why? Because the master isn't comparing servants with one another. He's looking for faithfulness. The first servant wasn't expected to produce 2 bags. The second servant wasn't expected to produce 5. Each was simply expected to be faithful with what had been entrusted to them. And that should be wonderfully encouraging. Jesus isn't asking you to live someone else's Christian life. He isn't comparing your gifts, your opportunities, or your circumstances with somebody else's. He simply asks, have you been faithful with what I entrusted to you? But then comes the third servant. And everything changes. He says, Master, verse 24, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Notice what Jesus draws our attention to. The servant doesn't begin by talking about money. He begins by talking about the master. His actions reveal what he believes about him. He says, these are his words, I knew you were a hard man. The word means harsh, difficult, demanding. Someone who expects much but gives little. In other words, he sees the master as someone to fear rather than someone to trust. And that changes everything. Think about the contrast. The first 2 servants immediately begin working. Apparently they trust the master. The third servant immediately begins digging. Apparently he doesn't. And that's why I don't think this parable is primarily about investment strategy. It's about relationship. The first 2 servants know the master well enough to serve him gladly. The third servant believes the master is harsh, and so he keeps his distance. He does the bare minimum. He simply buries what has been entrusted to him. One detail struck me as I studied this passage. The third servant actually gets one thing right. He says, verse 25, here is what belongs to you. He understands ownership. The money belongs to the master. What he misunderstands is stewardship. He seems to think his responsibility is simply to return the money untouched. The master says, no, I entrusted it to you to use. That's an important distinction. Sometimes Christians think faithfulness means simply preserving what God has given us, keeping safe, avoiding mistakes, taking no risks. But Jesus says faithful stewardship is active. God entrusts gifts to us, not simply to protect, but to employ for his purposes. Now, before we get too hard on this servant, I wonder whether we sometimes think about God in similar ways. Perhaps we would never say God is a hard master, but our actions sometimes suggest it. We imagine he's impossible to please, always disappointed, always waiting for us to fail. And if that's our picture of God, what happens? Like the third servant, we become fearful, cautious, passive. We bury what God has entrusted to us, not because we hate him, but because we don't really trust him. The remarkable thing is that nothing in this parable, nothing at all in this parable, suggests the master's generosity deserves such a view. Remember what he's done. He's entrusted this servant with the equivalent of about 20 years' wages. That's not the actions of a miser. That's an astonishing act of trust. The servant has experienced generosity, yet he interprets it through suspicion. The master replies, verse 26, "You wicked, lazy servant." Now notice something very important. The master doesn't first call him unsuccessful. He calls him wicked and lazy. This isn't ultimately about poor business decisions. It's about the servant's heart. In fact, the master answers him almost hypothetically. He says, verse 27, "If you really believed I was that kind of master..." Verse 27, "then at the very least, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers." In other words, your own argument doesn't hold together. Even by your own description of me, your actions don't make sense. Your problem simply isn't fear. Your problem is that you're unwilling to fulfill the responsibility I entrusted to you. And that's where this parable begins to search our hearts. Because the question is no longer, am I using my gifts? The deeper question is, what does the way I use or fail to use what God has entrusted to me reveal about what I really believe concerning him? Do I believe he is generous, wise, trustworthy, good? Or do I quietly see him as demanding, restrictive, or impossible to please? Because sooner or later, our stewardship will reveal our theology. The way we use our time, our abilities, our money, our opportunities will always reveal what we truly believe about the Master. Now, the parable closes with our third point. The master returns, verses 28 to 30. The master returns. And the parable now reaches its climax. The master gives his verdict. He says, verse 28, "Take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. At first glance, that doesn't seem very fair. Why give it to the servant who already has the most? Shouldn't have gone to the servant with only 2. But notice what Jesus is emphasizing. The extra bag of gold is not really the reward. The reward's already been given. Both faithful servants have already heard, "well done." Both have already been welcomed. Both have already been invited to share the master's happiness. The transfer of the money simply illustrates the principle Jesus now states. "For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Jesus isn't talking about bank accounts. He's talking about life in God's kingdom. Those who know the Master and faithfully respond to him will experience the fullness of his kingdom. Those who reject him eventually lose even the privileges they once enjoyed. And then comes the most sobering verse in the parable, verse 30. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are difficult words. But notice something. The servant's not called worthless because he only received one bag of gold, nor because he wasn't as capable as the others. He's called worthless because he failed to fulfill the purpose for which the master entrusted him. His stewardship revealed that despite all the master's generosity towards him, he neither trusted nor loved the master. He wanted the master's gifts. He simply didn't want the master himself. And that ultimately is why the judgment is so severe. The issue was never simply money. It was relationship. Throughout this series, we've been saying that money reveals the heart. Here, Jesus even goes deeper. Our stewardship of everything God entrusts to us reveals our relationship with him. The rich fool stored up treasure for himself instead of being rich toward God. The false teachers in 1 Timothy used God as a means of financial gain. Now this servant receives extraordinary generosity from the master, yet responds with suspicion, fear, and distance. Three passages, one issue, the heart. Now, perhaps you're sitting there thinking, I don't think I've always been a very faithful steward. Neither have I. If this parable simply called us to try harder, it would leave each of us discouraged, because every one of us could look back and think of opportunities we've wasted, ways we've used our time poorly, resources we've held on to selfishly, moments we've failed to trust God. But remember something, remember something. This parable doesn't stand alone. It sits within the whole story of the gospel. The master who will one day return is the same master who first came into this world. The one who entrusted us with so much first gave himself for us. He is the one Paul described last week who made the good confession before Pontius Pilate, remaining faithful to his father's will even when it led him to the cross. Why? So that people like you and me, who have so often failed in our stewardship, might be forgiven, reconciled and welcomed home. And that means if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, or perhaps you've been around church for years but have never really come to know Jesus, this parable isn't simply calling you to become a better steward. It's inviting you to come to know the Master. Perhaps you've thought of God as harsh, always disappointed, impossible to please, always waiting for you to fail. If that's your picture of God, look again at Jesus. The one who gave his life for sinners is not a reluctant saviour. He's a generous master who delights to forgive those who turn to him. Today, before he returns, he invites you into a relationship with him. And if you already belong to Christ, this parable asks a wonderfully freeing question. Not what has God entrusted to someone else, but what has my gracious Master entrusted to me? Your life, your family, your work, your abilities, your experiences, your opportunities, your resources, none of those are accidents. They are gifts entrusted to you by Christ, not to bury, not to compare, not merely to preserve, but to joyfully use for his glory until he returns. Because one day, every faithful servant will hear words more wonderful than any we could ever imagine. Not simply, well done. Not simply, I'll put you in charge of many things. But come and share your master's happiness. The greatest reward isn't simply the many things the master promises. It isn't merely heaven as a place of endless blessing. The greatest reward is the master himself. And that's why he doesn't simply say, I'll give you more responsibility. He says, come and share your master's happiness. Heaven is a glorious place because there we will know perfect, uninterrupted fellowship with Jesus, sharing forever in his joy. So let me leave you with one final question. As you look at the way you use your money, your time, your gifts, your opportunities, what does your stewardship reveal about your relationship with the Master? Because the generous life doesn't begin with giving more. It begins with knowing the generous God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that everything we have ultimately comes from you. We confess that we've not always been faithful with the time, opportunities, abilities and resources you've entrusted to us. Thank you that before calling us to faithful stewardship, you have shown us extraordinary grace through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please help us to know you more deeply, to trust you more fully, and to treasure you above everything else. By your Holy Spirit, make us faithful stewards. You joyfully use all that you've entrusted to us for your glory until the day we hear those wonderful words, well done, come and share your master's happiness. And for any here who do not yet know you, please open their eyes to see your goodness and to bring them into the joy of knowing Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.